16, and it's on page 1216 of the Church Bible. I read, "Above all, my brethren, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth, or by anything else. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no, or you be condemned. Is anyone of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." May the God bless you into our heart this morning.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now as we come to look at your word, that you illuminate our hearts and our minds as to what you would have to say to us. Amen. Well, we're nearly at the end of James. Hopefully it will come up on the screen, that's the one. But there's no petering out of James in his letter, although at times, when I first read this, read the book of James, when I got towards the end, I thought, he seems to be throwing in random things. I remembered back to the days when I was taking exams, and you sort of looked up at the clock, and you thought, I've got a quarter of an hour left. What do I do? Throw in as many facts as I can, but don't worry about the English. Well, coming from Essex, the English didn't worry me anyway. But you threw down as much fact. The biggest problem I think the examiners had was trying to read my writing when I was trying to write at supersonic speed. But actually, he doesn't do that. There is continuity there. That verse 12, the very first verse, says, "But most of all, brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else, just say a simple yes or no so that you will not sin and be condemned." Seems a bit random because just before that, he'd been talking about something else, and after it, he talks about something else. And he's put in about the tongue back in chapter 3. Remember that? And we do say that the book of James is also a look back to the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, actually said, simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no, anything else beyond that is the evil one. So it's connected, this verse, with what's gone on before. And especially when it says, above all. Says this is important. He's just been through the fact that there was different areas and different things, and we patiently endure suffering. And what he says is, don't mess that up by then letting the speech run away with you. Don't mess it up by things that you might say, think. But then he moves on. Life is complicated. Yes, we can mess it up with speech. But from verse 13 on, actually reminded me of a very old hymn. And there should be a nice bit of sound. Hang on. Ready? I I could sing it to you. How's that? They should. Is there sound on the computer? Yes, it was, because I checked it this morning. Oh, we heard something. So I was never intending to go that far anyway. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, there is more sound coming up. And James talks about this changing scenes. Now, we have some good moments in our lives, surely, don't we? Birth, I mean that from the point of view of me, because otherwise I wouldn't be here. So it must be a good moment. First jobs are great for some people, graduating, marriage, birth of their children, retirement, and of course as Christians, conversion and baptism, looking back to those days. You may have some other wonderful moments in your life. In mine, I can think of two. This one, 1966, we won the World Cup. And I remember it was done in the summer, so I virtually watched every match. I was only young, but I watched every match in those days. And, of course, the 2012. You may have others. The list, we could go on endlessly about it. Good things happen when we have happy moments, and life is wonderful. What might we do? Well, we might do what we're going to do in heaven when it says, "Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing in Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. I've heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was that of harpists playing harps, and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and elders. No one could learn the songs except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth." Don't worry about the 144,000. That just means a humongous number that is there. And it's sort of taken as 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, which makes 144,000. A big number. I wonder what sort of songs we'll be singing in heaven. I stopped and thought, what will we say? Will it be from Songs of Fellowship 1 through to Songs of Fellowship 9000? Because in heaven, you've got plenty of time to make up songs and put them in book. We're already up to number 6. So we just never know. But as Christians, when we're happy, do we just sing Christian songs? Or do we perhaps sing non-Christian songs? What about a bit of classical singing? I taught this man all he knew. He's coming up.
La 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 è mobile, qual piuma al vento, muta l'accento, e di pensiero, sempre una
vera. Or maybe you might want a bit of movement with singing as well.
Khelane kyun na jaye tu hori re rastiya, khelane kyun na jaye tu hori re rastiya, tujhe hai to sari duniya
ka. The next bit. I like the next bit coming up too.
Kurti pe teri malu gulal, rang bata bulu ya lal, air mein tere udte baal, aaja rang do dono ga, are sara ra ra
Actually, in the office, Chris's office, the photocopying room the other day, I was changing one of the toners and it was blue. And something had happened and it all came, I had this blue mist and it reminded me of that bloke going along on the blue. I was like that. I went home covered in blue, almost. I didn't see it on the floor because I couldn't see because of the blue mist. Of course, you might want to have something more contemporary. Oh, no, there isn't one of those. You know, but what do we sing? Does it really matter? Because it's all from God. As long as there's no bad language. I did ask, check out the Bollywood one was okay. But, you know, we sing. That's what we do. We move around. They're the good times. But this lady sang something. Is it true?
Life is just a bowl of cherries. Don't take it serious. Life's too mysterious. You work, you slave, you worry so, but you can't take your dough when you go, go, go. Keep repeating, it's the berries, the strongest oak.
First line, life is just a bowl of cherries. Although I agree with the last line of the first verse, you can't take it with you. But actually, life isn't always a bowl of cherries. We, even as Christians, have to put up that it says mortals born of women are of a few days and full of troubles. We're not promised a life free from problems. Life comes with problems. James has already told us that. We may think that becoming a Christian is great. And I remember one of the things that appealed to me just before my 12th birthday and I became a Christian was somebody said to me, the similar, do you know, as a Christian, I don't fall over as much. And I believed him. Because I was always falling over and grazing my knees. You know, this was in the days when I didn't have long trousers, which is just as well, because I'd have wrecked the trousers as well. So you're all right, Marnish, you won't wreck your trousers if you fall over. But and I thought it was good. I learnt later, I did follow Jesus in for more substantive reasons than just falling over. We're, none of us are immune to it. And really those words are true for all of us. It would be great to think, as a Christian, we always had a bed of roses. And actually, if we could show that to people, think how many of them would want to become a Christian. But it's not always true. It's not always true. We're not promised a life free from problems. Or to put it another way, bad things can happen, do happen to good people. No one's immune. Of course, it may be that we actually suffer problems because we follow God. To Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. In the Second World War, this gentleman was thrown into prison. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, German, and he spoke out against the Nazi regime in Germany. He died just a few days, he was executed a few days before the end of the war because of his courage to speak out. He was persecuted. For some, yes, it is self-inflicted, it can be. In the parable of the prodigal son, he took half of his father's money and went off and was profligate in its use. Spent it very quickly, ended up doing a job that he wouldn't have done at all, but he was desperate. So at times we make wrong choices and it comes back to bite us. Problem is when that happens, that's not due to other people. Even though we may blame them, it's due to ourselves. It may just be that there's no real reason. It just happens. Why do some people get sick and not others? We sometimes don't know. With some people, of course, it may be because of lifestyle or some self-inflicted something. For others, there's no apparent cause. Not all suffering has a, if you like, a moral reason behind it. As Jesus said, now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish. For some, it just happens for no apparent reason. This side of heaven, we can ask God when we get there. We know that in heaven, of course, as well, all suffering ceases. Life does become a bowl of cherries. But we live in a world infected by sin. So bad things will happen to good people. So bad things happen. Things as well like death, injury, illness, redundancy. Losing that job that one so much enjoyed. And losing income. There are more. That's the changing scenes of life that we all know about. So how do we handle the bad stuff? The good stuff's easy. We can sing, we can dance, we can whoop up and down, cheer. The bad's not so easy. What do some people do? Some people, sadly, go into substance abuse. They might use alcohol. Deadens the pain for a while. Makes one forget for a time what's happening. Proverbs says, wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. Some do go down that route, become dependent on something. Things like alcohol isn't condemned outright in the Bible. It's dependency on it and the loss of control. If too much is had. Of course, the other thing that people do is they blame others. It's been found that families where things have gone wrong, it's the children that are often blamed. Some families will even say it's evil spirits in the children, and then they beat the children to get the evil spirits out of the family. Because it's never my fault. It's always them. Their mothers. And James has already said to us, don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters. Don't go down that route. We need to live in a blame-free culture where we accept the things that we do. Doesn't mean to say we excuse them. But we don't go around having a blame and making me feel good. So how do we handle it properly? How do we handle a problem? Some people, if it gets too much, they stop going to church because God must be against them. Remember, we had this phrase earlier, we're not promised a life free of problems. There is a second part to that. That says we can meet life's problems with God. We can meet life's problems with God. We need to remember that God is always with us. And so that should lift our spirits. Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. And in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We're to rejoice and be glad. Remember Paul and Silas when they were in prison? They were singing hymns, songs into the night. Of course, not all times will be like that. I was always struck that Jesus stood outside the tomb of his friend Lazarus. And then you get the shortest verse, I think, in the Bible. Just two words. Jesus wept. It's right to be sad at times. But that shouldn't be our way of life. God is still with us, even when times are bad. Even though Jesus knew that in a few moments he would be resurrecting Lazarus, he still wept at that particular point. Because often we hone in on the negativity part, but we forget the wonderful other, the many, the plethora of blessings that God has given to us. And that's what we can do with life's changing scenes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you never go away from us, even when we at times drift away from you because things aren't going as we would like. And we think bad things are happening. Why is that? Lord, we know at times, yes, you do cajole us and push us in a different direction at times. And that can be difficult for us. But Lord, we pray and we thank you and rejoice in the fact that you are always there. We thank you for that. Lord, help us in good and in bad to always turn to you. Amen. Maybe you're going through a difficult time at the moment. Things aren't going as well. Well, there will be some people from the prayer team over to my left, your right, who will be happy to pray with you. Don't promise solutions. That's not what they're there for. But they can listen and they can pray. Let's stand and sing together.
Night is gray.
To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.